tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. After a stellar White Sox game, we welcome on musician Michael McDermott, who will be playing this weekend at the Roscoe Burger Fest. We also welcome Elliot Serrano, and it's Friday, so that means we have our political roundtable of Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy. And now, live from the WGN Radio Skyline Studio, we are broadcasting live.
What a steamy Friday it is in Chicago. I hope that you're all relaxing and cool somewhere. And, of course, we always hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We are in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Isn't it beautiful tonight in Chicago?
It certainly is. I don't even mind the mugginess.
I know. It's not too bad. Well, the day was very hot. I love when people post pictures from inside their cars, 100 degrees, 105. You're like, oh, I'm going to stay inside now. Thank you for posting that. I really needed it.
I know.
It's a great weekend, and you were just talking before we got on the air about all the fests that you've been covering for WGN television.
Yes, yes. Burger Fest this weekend in Roscoe Village. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. We've done the Mac and Cheese Fest. Taste of Chicago's in full force.
Yeah, I've been staying away from downtown.
You know what, though, Patty? The lineup this year has been really good. They had Brandi Carlile, Flaming Lips. They've had some real good bands that people are saying are really jamming out at the Taste.
And so people are looking for good things to do and to have fun. Of course, Elliot Serrano joins us in studio tonight. What are you doing for the weekend, Elliot?
I'm getting a lot of sleep as I avoid downtown Chicago.
You're going to hang out with your cat, aren't you?
Hanging out with the cat. Yeah, actually, I have to get him ready for the meow meetup next weekend. So he's getting a haircut. He's not going to be happy with me.
Wait, what's the
Oh, okay, I need to explain to you. Well, meow meetup, but I think we need to explain a couple things to you and to our guest, Michael McDermott. Michael McDermott's in the studio with us, and we're thrilled to welcome you. Thank you so much.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Wonderful to have you. I know it sounds weird when I ask a grown man, are you going to hang out with your cat this weekend?
No.
It doesn't sound weird?
No pets.
It'll be a Burger Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, Elliot's going to be with his cat this weekend, but Elliot has a famous cat that was, Sinbad belonged to an elderly gentleman who had been unable to take care of himself or his cat, and a utility worker came by and saw this cat, this Persian cat, just matted down with about, how many pounds of...
5 pounds of fur.
Mm-hmm.
Of mange.
It's pretty bad.
And when they cut it off, there was all kinds of stuff in there, and he was emaciated, his legs had atrophied, and Elliot is now the proud papa of Sinbad the Survivor.
He's my little man.
So what is the meow meetup, Elliot?
Oh, it's a cat convention. It's the very first Chicago cat convention. Mm-hmm. So it'll be next weekend. There is one that happens in Los Angeles called the Cat Con, which apparently is very big.
Okay.
So there's going to be one in Chicago. It'll be next weekend at the Rosemont.
And you bring your cat to this?
Well, I'm bringing my cat. I don't know if people can bring their cats, although there will be cats there.
Got it.
Lil Bub is going to be there. Now, for those who don't
Michael and I are looking around.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand. But I'll tell you, people who know celebrity cats are losing it right now. Okay, you've heard of Grumpy Cat, right?
Of course, which you write for, by the way.
Right, Elliot writes. Yes. Yeah, I wrote the Grumpy Cat comic for a bit.
Okay.
Lil Bub is like the next level right after Grumpy Cat. So you have Grumpy Cat is up there doing the memes, and Lil Bub is like right below Grumpy Cat as far as fame and all that kind of stuff.
What happened to the old guy?
Which one?
The one that owns Sinbad.
Oh, yeah.
He's
they're like, who cares about him?
I
don't care about that kid.
It's like he ended up getting, he got cared for. There were things that he needed help with that he ended up getting help with. I try to stay away from that part too because, like, one, I don't want to.
It's too dark.
It is kind of dark. It's a little sad. And, you know.
Please, Elliot was just telling me on the way here, he just wants to make sure that if something happens to him, his body isn't discovered, like, weeks later.
Well, that
weeks
was a Sex later. In the City thing. Remember, Miranda was afraid of being eaten by her cat.
That's right.
And they will do that.
Yeah.
Like they're
seriously.
Like, if you've seen, it's like between cats and spiders that came out on the internet on social media and the internet this past week that it's been proven that spiders could eat every person on the planet.
Wow. Oh, that's awful.
We would be eaten by spiders.
I hate spiders.
Or people with cats.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my God. So. Whatever happened to Toonsis? Wasn't that a big cat, too?
Toonsis, the driving cat? Yeah. They every once in a while, they'll bring Toonsis back on SNL.
I forgot about Toonsis, the driving cat.
Remember him.
On SNL. Well, yeah. There you go.
I think there's the Toonsis doll is at the Museum of Broadcast Communications with the SNL exhibit.
Oh, that makes sense.
I believe Toonsis is there.
That's a cool exhibit. You should do that.
I was going to say, Michael, now you're living in Chicago for the summer.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to see the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Broadcast Museum?
No, I didn't even know about it. No.
It's very cool.
I bet.
Yeah. It's a really great setup for it. They have, like, you know, they have Garth, Wayne and Garth's basement setup, you know,
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
The Jeopardy set. It's very fun. Yeah. Now, where did you grow up, Michael?
Orland Park.
So you grew up in Orland Park. Yes. So both of you are from Orland Park.
Yeah, and we have a lot of the same. We had a lot of the same hangouts in high school. We went to rival high schools. He went to Sandberg, and I went to Andrew. But we have a lot of the same hangouts too. Like we were, you know, I don't want to say commiserating, but catching up.
Yeah.
Like the Bremen Mall. This used to be the dive mall.
Yeah, the $1 movies. But they didn't have air conditioning or heating,
right.
So you'd have to wear your winter coat in the theater,
and your feet would stick to the
floor. Yeah, totally.
And we'd hang out at the White Castle.
I liked the feet sticking thing. I felt very grounded.
Yeah, it made a very specific sound too.
It did.
Like it's totally. Like, that was some high grade corn syrup in the soda we drink, isn't it?
Big time.
So, Michael, so you're going to be performing at this Burger Fest tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow at like 5 o'clock, doing a band set there. It's supposed to, I don't know about the weather, but they're talking rain.
Are they? I think during the morning. I heard earlier in the day, so hopefully everything will clear up before you guys start playing. We're going to hear some live music from Michael McDermott, who's in studio. Yeah. You'll be playing some of the music from your latest album tomorrow night.
Yes, I will, for sure.
And that is Out From Under, so we want to talk about that as well.
Yes, great.
Sounds great. We're hanging out with Michael McDermott in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Elliot Serrano joins us, and we'll have our Freak Out Friday panel at some point, but I don't know if we can do it right away. I know. I don't feel like freaking out right now.
I know. We're calm.
I'm too tired to freak out. Yes, there were indictments, and I guess if you have a witch hunt and then you find witches, is it really a witch hunt? I don't know. More after this on 720 WGN. I hit the battery just reported there wasn't going to be specifically any rain for Burger Fest.
Yes,
so we're all
off
very
the air I said that.
Yes,
no rain for Burger Fest.
But you can't promise that necessarily.
I can't, but I have a really good feeling.
Yeah, 5 to 6:30, it should be clear.
You feel very confident about that.
Absolutely.
Well, we are we're in the Allstate Showcase studio with Michael McDermott, who is performing tomorrow at Burger Fest, but he's playing live for us in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Yes. We appreciate that. Yes. What are you playing for us?
I'm going to play a song from the new record called Knockdown.
Knockdown.
Yes.
Excellent. Here's Michael McDermott.
It's always been like this, man. Nothing's changed since the day I was born. I always felt a little strange. I always did. And I always do. Sometimes I get a little lonely, baby. How about you? I always do. I always did. You better be careful when you're messing with the kid. It ain't no big thing. It's all the same to me. Sometimes a little legal light is all you need. In these hard times, you gotta take a few. I ain't no glass jaw joker, baby, that is true. And you can see the stars better from the underground. I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. Yeah, I lived like a dog and I slept in the street. I had a home in the bushes with the rats at my feet. I've been so strung out in dirty hotel rooms. The girls on the pipe all afternoon. I've been ridden like a horse all night and day. Been turned out and burned out and led astray. But that's the way it is, I'm telling you straight. I got a pocket full of rocket and I'm looking for a heartache. I'm a Skid Row savior, spike for a crown. I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I got this old guitar and an Irish hat. Spent 20 years, baby, with a monkey on my back. And that was hard time, and even harder still. If the left one don't get you, then the right one will. I've been hustled and muscled and left for dead. I had my face to a wall and a gun to my head. Been cheated, defeated, and
play for a fool. Everything I ever needed always came from you. I think it's time we order another round. I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. Two days of riding shotgun in a yellow cab. Started talking to a priest right outside a meth lab. I did not say what I was trying to do. I said hell is arbitrary, it's a point of view. I think he got it, I think he understood. I'm pretty sure he knew that I was up to no good. And then I gave him a hug and went right in. Sometimes you find heaven in a place of sin. A hallelujah, a boy, it's never enough. That which doesn't kill you, man, it makes you tough. Well, I'm the toughest thing going, baby, pound for pound. I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked. Well, I could hear the voices calling from the corner, man, telling me to stay down, that we had reached the end. I thought, I know it's on this fight. I decide when it's still time to make it right, cause it's your life and you get only one. So you better be aware of what you let it become. And I'm telling you straight, telling you true. Do you choose your life or do you let it choose you? I say I know a thing or two. Hey, I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down. I said I know a thing or two about being knocked down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Michael McDermott, and he's performing at Burger Fest tomorrow night, but we've got him live. And by the way, my producer, I had you on the schedule, and I actually wrote back, and I was like, the?
Yeah, like, I know.
I mean, like, not the, but the.
The. Yeah, yeah, I prefer the.
Yeah, I think the distinction is important. Absolutely. That was fantastic. And I know that you're very honest about your struggles with addiction for 20 years. Yeah, and that's what you're talking about in this song. Yeah. What was the moment? I mean, were there many moments where you kept trying to straighten it out and it just seemed easier to just go, you know what? I've made it this far. I can just keep doing what I've
lived.
Yeah,
well, I think, like, Annie, you know, at some point, the drugs and the drink become the friend and the companion in the journey, but my wife and you know, she at some point she allowed me to stop in a strange way, and I think I was just looking for permission to stop the madness, and finally I did, and that was came in the form of you know, just her, you know, not being able to take it anymore. You know, it pushed everybody to the brink. And
did you have fears too that it would affect your writing and your music because you lived
getting sober?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and it's just a thing. You know, everybody thinks that, and even my fan base was like, "Geez, what's he going to write about?"
Oh, no.
You know, but it's it's a reality that you think about. But really, it's I don't regret a lot of things. I do regret the work suffering. I think, you know, just the clarity of it all. And yeah, so that's the only thing. But I wouldn't trade any day of sobriety for all the wildness of it all.
I love the passion that you put in everything too. I saw you do the national anthem at Wrigley years ago,
yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, just you put your whole heart and soul into everything, your music, and just even when you're performing.
Well, it's probably out of my mind then. But,
yeah.
No,
I'm
just kidding.
No, I don't. No,
I mean, maybe.
So. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple. Well, it's been 4 years now. I've been
sober,
so.
Yeah, I think it was recently.
But yeah, so it's, you know, and it's funny, I have this theory on Trump, and I know you guys are going to do the political thing, but, you know, as a drug addict, you know, you're always chasing this dopamine. And I think, and really, and I'm not being flippant about it, but I think that Trump as a person is a drug addict, really. And he's a drug addict because anger is a great dopamine source.
Mm.
And
right.
Chaos and all that, and he feeds off that, and really, and he's like, really, he has the behavior, the unhinged behavior that I know so well firsthand. So he's really like, it's a sickness. Mm-hmm. It really is it's a sickness, and I think he has. I mean, he has exhibits every behavior of a drug addict.
Well, being erratic, and by the way, to be clear, what you're saying is that he's addicted to the anger, the rage,
and the dopamine,
and the reactions.
The hit,
yeah, because there are studies about people having those levels that are off, and so you chase something in order to maintain that sort of high.
Yeah,
whatever that.
Every morning he gets up and is like, I need my fix.
Right.
You know,
hence the 3 a.m. tweets.
Yeah, right.
And it's interesting that you say you don't regret anything, because I try to live that way too. And a friend of mine said something that when my son was born and he had some real medical issues that I thought was my fault. And she goes, look, what if it was? She goes, regret is a wasted emotion.
Yep.
And that's something I go to a lot, because, okay, it maybe, but so what? What are you gonna? It's not what you've done. It's what you're going to do. I think is always important to think of.
Yeah, it's how you define those things that happen in your life.
It is. And as Andrea mentioned, your passion, there's also, your passion also comes through with this like ease. I can't explain it. Like, it's just sort of like, it just seems to exude
real.
It.
Yeah, very real.
The uncomfortability I've lived with for so long that I make it look easy.
Oh, so was that, do you think that part of that was,
I don't know.
Was having to act as though there wasn't,
everything was fine. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense then, too. Performers are that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're welcome to hang out for the, we don't get too much, and we try to keep it light when we do. We call it Freak Out Friday, only because I don't talk about the politics for the most part all week. I save it for Friday, and by Friday, I'm like, oh my God!
Right. It's like an explosion.
But right.
Well, and if we did it every day, we can't keep up, right? Yeah. Otherwise, we become somebody who is addicted to that trigger.
Then it just, because it just becomes too outrageous. Yeah. You know, the outrageous isn't even outrageous anymore.
And you can see it too on Facebook. People are the arguing, the vitriol. It's just a form of, really, everybody's on the spectrum on some level of addiction. You know, whether it's, you know, mobile devices or Facebook or social media, whatever, porn, food, whatever. Right. You know, everybody's
food porn.
Yeah,
Ellie. We never
food porn.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of that on Instagram.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me to combine porn and food. There's my new addiction.
So watch out for that channel. There's a lot of syrup. There's so much syrup involved. Well, I don't see a lot of people arguing on Facebook, do you, Ellie? Especially not on my feed.
No,
it's always very calm online.
Along, so
In some cases, shut it down.
Yeah. In some cases, people just have nice conversations with themselves on your page.
Yes, that's the weirdest thing I've been noticing, is that people start having conversations with themselves that, like, nobody's disagreeing with them.
Right.
Or maybe there's like a phantom voice that they're hearing. I don't know. But the big one this week was the woman in Call of Force, Mia Izzyari, who was approached and harassed by Tim Tybra. Tribus. And he, I wasn't kidding when I said I ordered a bunch of Latino, like, I'm half Mexican and half Irish.
Yeah.
So I bought a bunch of things about my, I was very excited about my Illinois state map with the Chicago flag and the Mexican flag. And then I also have my Irish hat. And so it's like, I got everything. Come on, somebody, come at me. Let's do this. Yeah, let's bring that on. We are hanging out with Michael McDermott in the Allstate Showcase studio. He is performing at Burgerfest in Roscoe Village tomorrow night. Performing at 5 p.m. You can also find more about Michael at michael-mcdermott.com. Of course, look for his music on Spotify and Apple. He's got his new album out, which is called
Out From Under.
And we want to hear some more. Will you hang out with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. More with our guests when we come back. We'll bring in Eric Elk and Kenji Kubowski. I think Dave Lundy wanted to call in. They've been waiting to talk all day, Andrea. They're like, we gotta talk about this stuff.
Right.
It is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It is Friday the 13th. I totally forgot that it was Friday the 13th, Andrea.
Oh, yeah. Friday. It's like National Friday, too.
It was National French Fry Day, everybody. And we had our friends from Bona Beef in with the French fries last night. Sorry we didn't have... Thanks. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Ken and Michael. Yeah.
Well, there's 9 more minutes left.
I know, but they brought them yesterday. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We saved some for you.
Yeah. Friday the 13th. That's a lucky day.
It is.
Well, only 9 more minutes left.
But only 12 indictments. So that don't you wish Mueller had just rounded it up? I think that would have been more fun. I'm just saying. We are thrilled to welcome in studio Michael McDermott, who is performing at Burgerfest tomorrow in Roscoe Village. But he is live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You can go to my Facebook page, Patty Vasquez, on obviously just my regular one, and I'm posting a Facebook Live video of him right now. Here he is playing This World Will
Break Your Heart.
Break Your Heart.
There's an old man at the counter, and he couldn't feed himself. No one seemed to make a move to offer any help. The waitress didn't notice. She went about her day. And then passed out at the bus stop. A bearded man did lay. No one got too close to check if he was okay. He had a tattoo of Semper Fi. And God bless the USA. And this world will break your heart. This world will break your heart. And this world will break your heart. lost her baby in the final month. The room was painted blue, they had a name picked for their son. The husband said they'd try again, he didn't know what else to say. In 50 years of marriage, if he made it till July, the nurse gave back his clothes as she began to cry. She told the social worker, I got nowhere else to stay. This world will break your heart. And this world will break your heart. And this world will break your heart in a thousand different ways. There's fire on the hillside and oil in the sea, and people hurting everywhere as far as I can see. We're just castles made of sand, and someday we're gonna wash away. And Romeo, he stumbled in with an unlit cigarette. He said he just got off the phone with Mr. Capulet, who warned, boy, best be careful, 'cause there will be hell to pay. Babe, we're getting older, yeah, this much is true. But each day is a gift that I get to spend with you. And babe, I'll always love you beyond my dying day. And this world will break your heart. And this world will break your heart. This world will break your heart in a thousand different ways.
Wow. Oh, God. Michael, I know, I need a tissue. Oh, my God.
This world will break your heart. Thank you so much, Michael McDermott, for playing live in the studio.
Beautiful.
Chicago's very own. I know, Orland Park, but, you know, people from Orland Park, when they travel, they say they're from Chicago.
That's right.
I'm just saying, not for
that's
nothing.
Right.
So that's fantastic. And as you heard us talking earlier on Friday nights, we talk about all the
Bring
big
it.
Stories
yeah.
of the
yeah.
week because I can't do it every day. Our heads would. Are you kind of grateful for that? Because I know it was
I am.
A little different.
I know we talked about that. Yeah. I mean, it went from every day, every hour to just on Friday, which I'm so grateful for because we still do it. We do it in the news. You know, we tell you the facts, tell you what's happening, but to discuss it just will make your head explode.
Yeah, I give you 5 days to not worry about it.
Dave,
I know you're on the line. Dave Lundy joins us on the line. We have Ken Jacobowski, Eric Elk, Elliot Serrano, Michael McDermott hanging out with us as well. You guys, I actually have to go to a break, so I've said all your names, and now we're going to pause for a moment so we make sure we get these in before midnight, and we will carry on our conversation. This is a really short show, everybody, tonight. And Rogers pulled a movie scene for us. I don't know if Michael wants to hang out with us and read a scene from a movie every week. We destroy a classic movie for folks so they can never watch it the same way again. It's just a unique take.
It's not really a destruction.
it's pretty much of a destruction. Yeah. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we typically save all the really big political news for Friday night. Had a time to think about it, as I mentioned, with our tech screen. I actually take a moment to also take a deep breath, take a look at what things mean. There was a piece in the Chicago Tribune about Granite City, which is one of the towns where a lot of people are benefiting from the tax plans and the tax tariffs that President Trump has imposed, and that people are they're gearing up for going back to work in the mills there.
Right.
And so, you know, for people who say we don't pay attention or we don't talk about those things, there are about 800 people in Granite City that are going to benefit from some of the plans that President Trump has put into place. There's a lot of other things too. I mean, and I guess what I was watching, Elliot, I feel like I was watching, you know what? It reminds me of Infinity Wars. Basically, something that's going to be, because of all the resources, some people are going to suffer. And it's maybe, oh no, you know what I'm watching? Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's uplifting.
I'm watching Handmaid's Tale, and they talk about how they basically have taken all the women who are fertile and are using them as a resource. And they're saying that, the idea is that this is going to be good for everyone in general, but it will be bad for some in particular.
Right.
And so I think that this will be good for, some things are good for some people, mm-hmm. and then other things are bad for other people. Some people win, some people lose, and Trump's America.
And the farmers are getting crushed.
Well, there you go. So is it, and I've asked before, is what he's put in place, what President Trump has been carrying out, is it worth it in general for everybody? A lot of people think that unemployment, which Dave has some thoughts about what that trend was like leading up until this time period, and it really becomes President Trump's economy in January 2019. But that's not even the big part of it is there are people who have benefited, and the question is it worth it? Is it in the big picture?
Are the tariffs worth it?
Is any of it worth it? His behavior with Russia?
It's a good question. It really is. I mean, you bring up Granite City, too. I think the steel workers would argue that it absolutely is worth it. I mean, my goodness, the whole foreign steel steals jobs all the way, from the 80s and Reaganomics all the way up to now. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're struggling and you haven't been able to have gainful employment for a long time,
right.
I would think it would be worth it. Yeah. This would seem worth it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's a small-time gain.
In some homes, when they're sitting across, remember during all these campaigns, they were talking about that conversation at the kitchen table, looking at the bills. I think when those folks are having those conversations at the kitchen table, having a job, having insurance, having a future, that then whatever Trump is doing seems worth it.
Yeah,
I would bet that if you added up all of those who have benefited and all of those who are being hurt by this, those being hurt are far outweighing those who benefited.
It'll be interesting to see too as Obamacare continues to be rolled back, mm-hmm. what that number looks like. Dave, what were you going to say? We didn't give you a chance.
Yeah, well, several things. First of all, I'm actually fairly familiar with the Granite City situation. The jobs are coming back not just because of the Trump tariffs. The U.S. Steel had talked about reopening, bringing back some of those jobs long before the Trump tariffs were announced. So it helped, but it was not the only cause for those jobs coming back. There are actually very good reasons to make steel in Illinois, believe it or not. But the challenge you have is that for every one of these steel jobs, there's 20 other manufacturers who rely upon steel who are hurt by this.
Actually, there's a listener that agrees with you on that. From 870, it is good for Granite City, but there is a nail manufacturer that's having to shut down because they can't afford the U.S. steel for raw materials in St. Louis.
Precisely. Yeah. In fact, not only, it's not just a nail manufacturer, they are the one of the only remaining nail manufacturers in the United States. Otherwise, we import all of our nails. Who knew? And that manufacturer is going to have to shut down exclusively because of the Trump tariffs. So whether it's that manufacturer, whether it's Harley-Davidson, whether it's the soybean farmers, you could point to example after example after example. And that's only with the first little dose of the tariffs in place. Remember, Trump just announced this week $200 billion in additional tariffs on Chinese goods, and the Chinese are going to match. This is trade wars only produce losers. And unfortunately, history has shown us that time after time after time, despite Donald Trump saying, oh, trade wars are easy. Well, they're not easy if you're the one on the losing end of the stick.
And I know that, we have a listener who wants to join the conversation about farm subsidies. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for calling. What did you want to say?
Oh, by the way, I love you ladies.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'm serious. You guys are the best. I mean, WGN is the only radio station to listen to. Ooh. Bar none. But
Michael, put that in the can for Duffy for our promo.
Oh, no. Ladies, you have to understand, there are certain women on the airwaves that don't have the right voice, and you girls have got it, bar none.
That's
nice.
I know what kind of voice you're talking about. I call it bar girl. There are people who talk with no sense of urgency, and they kind of like let their voice fall out of their face, uh-huh. and I can't. Like that, Robert?
No, but see, you guys don't do that.
Yep.
You guys are energetic. Mm-hmm. And remember what time slots you're on, and you want to be on topic, and you want to be on point, and you ladies are bar none, the best.
So. Everyone's laughing at me because I keep egging
going,
him on.
Okay. Like, no, I know. Tell us
we all know that this is
promo.
A relative of Patty's. The check
no,
is in
not.
The mail.
No, he is an That's intelligent great. Man.
Thank you, Robert. What do you want to say about farm subsidies?
Well, no, it's just farm subsidies are different. You know, I mean, I love the fact I have friends who have 100,000 acres of farmland, and they get farm subsidies. And then there are people who have 25 acres, and they don't get anything.
Oh, really?
So, I mean,
right. There's a disparity there.
That's the way it is. It's kind of like when you go up to Wisconsin. You can go up to Wisconsin, and liquor is very cheap in Wisconsin. And you wonder, are they spending the farm subsidies on liquor, or are they spending it on farms? I mean, you know, it's a whole other topic.
Gotcha.
The point is that what Trump is doing doesn't make any sense. The economy is going good, and he's doing his own agenda. Does it make any sense? No. If you know anything about economics, no. Because if you look any day, how much money do we owe China?
Yeah.
He's trying to put this on China, yet we owe billions and billions and billions of dollars on China.
Yep.
So none of it makes any sense. It's just sit back, do a shot of tequila, and look out.
Yeah, let me grab some.
Have a wonderful evening,
Thank
ladies.
You, Robert.
And you have the beautiful voices.
Well, and I do from a listener who's a little bit upset that you're talking about our voices. There are a lot of women with great voices on the air. Obviously, Wendy has
of
a great
course.
But also Felicia Middlebrook has
yeah,
a
but
yeah,
you know, you're just very lovely, lovely lady.
Well, thank
and I
you,
appreciate
Robert.
You being
yes.
on the air.
What a good guy.
You have a wonderful evening Thanks, now. Bye-bye.
Robert. He brings up a great point. Just real quick.
We have great voices, yes.
America. Oh, yeah, we'll get back to that. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. America owes China. Any guesses? Just ballpark?
No. What's
$1 trillion, and that's just ballpark.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, he brings up a good point.
All right, Joe Pumpkin's got some. I know it's not your last name, Joe. It's just, oh, we've got an echo there. Do you have an echo, Joe?
Oh, no, you're coming through clear as a bell, kiddo.
All right, excellent. What do you want to say, Pumpkin?
Hey, listen, you're a history buff just like I am.
I'm a historian.
You betcha. Well, what's the difference? Buff, historian, same scenario.
Having the practical.
One has a degree,
yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Touche. Listen, what do you think enabled the United States to be instrumental and, in fact, key to winning World War I and World War II? We had the manufacturing in place to turn Detroit into a tank manufacturer. Yeah. Chicago was one of the principal areas for making shell casings, so forth and so on. Now, aside from free trade and fair trade, which Trump is after, okay, what happens if, God forbid, something breaks out and, gee, we don't have any manufacturing capabilities, or not enough, not as much as we should have? That's his main impetus for getting steel manufacturing, aluminum back in the United States. Nails is another prime example.
So you're saying he's gearing up for war, is what you're saying, in the event that there's a war.
I'm talking about capabilities to manufacture stuff. Instead of relying on imports from other countries, especially if they're not prone or agreeable to doing that under certain circumstances.
Well, why would we pick a fight with Canada? They're like our friendliest neighbor, and they bring us all this steel.
This is the big picture. It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah, there's going to be people that are hurting.
Well, but to Elliot's question, then to your point about trying to shore up our ability and bulk up our infrastructure and manufacturing, why have Canada as part of that mix?
Well, you can't choose. It's got to be in balance with Canada also. 650 million is per year with China, for example.
I think Eric
with Canada, it's 320 million or 220. I forget which.
Go ahead, Eric.
But if we can't sell our goods to a wider market, what good is that going to? There won't be any jobs because nobody's going to buy it.
So I'm off, I take it?
No, I have to because when I talk and your phone is up, I get an echo. Are you guys hearing the echo?
Yeah,
or just,
yeah. Okay, I hear an echo on this line.
Yeah, so that's why you were off. And also to prevent anyone from talking over each other. And Eric had been trying to jump in there.
It's kind of eerie with Friday the 13th.
I know. So go ahead, Joe. I'm going to turn our mics off. Go ahead.
Okay. But, you know, it's going to be a painful period for some people, certain sectors. And you can't just pick and choose and say, well, gee whiz, Canada's our favorite son, UK is great, France, Germany, whatever. It's got to be across the board. Wherever there's an imbalance, unfree trade or unbalanced trade is what Trump is after. Now, would you sit across from a person and say, well, gee whiz, we'll play the game this way. I can pay you this much. And, well, the imbalance of trade, you know what I'm talking about. I couldn't think of a great analogy right now.
I don't get the feeling that President Trump is all that worried about what his image is with countries or, you know, feeling right. Making somebody feel bad. I don't think he's worried about anyone's feelings. I do have to cut this off because the echo is making me crazy, Joe.
Oh,
but I do appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah.
And we look forward to talking to you again when there's
May your Friday 13th clear up.
I know, right?
Thank you, Joe. He makes great points. I'm just curious what you guys would think about the U.S.-China trade war. I read an article today. It could push the global stock markets down by more than 20%, which would basically erase all the gains since his
presidency.
Yeah. It's an article. It's a thought. It's obviously speculative.
I think it's bad. Whenever you put up any kind of walls, I very much believe in free market, free enterprise, and when you take down those barriers, I think you are. Adding to the economy. When you put up all these tariffs and put up the walls, it creates a huge problem. And I think for the longest time, and that's what's so crazy, because Republicans for so long had been fighting for trade with China, and it wasn't necessarily just on the commerce as much as it was the treatment of people there. I mean, for so long, you know, it was even just the way they treat their citizens and trying to bring the Western ways into
right.
China. So I mean, in terms of democracy, but I just don't think that it does anything for our economy to not be able to get into that market. There's so many consumers there.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Sorry, I need to respond to a point that Joe made, because the idea that we are going to help ourselves broadly in the manufacturing sector by having these tariffs is actually the opposite of what is already evident, which is that, yes, you rescue the steel industry at the cost of other manufacturers. Other manufacturers that rely upon steel as their product, and so it again, trade wars are bad. Any of the economic analysis that's been done, why did we go into the Great Depression? We went into the Great Depression because of the Smoot-Hawley tariffs of Herbert Hoover. I mean, this is not the only person who doesn't seem to really get this, who's a policymaker, is Donald Trump. Even the Republicans in Congress, the one thing that they're speaking up about is that these tariffs are bad. And I don't understand what he's trying to do, because when you announce, you know, we had $34 billion, that already led a lot of manufacturers to say we're going to have to ship a lot of this manufacturing overseas. And instead, now that you're going to increase that by almost tenfold, what do you think is going to happen there? I mean, this is just enormously problematic. It's a terrible policy, and it absolutely will erase any economic gains coming from the tax cuts, which were dubious to begin with.
Let's take a break here. We've got to get to those indictments, because it was interesting timing, and people are saying it's a big FU from Mueller to Trump as he prepares to meet with Putin. So let's take a break here. Give us a call at 312-981-7200, or you can text us to that same number. It's Friday night. We are broadcasting from the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. President Trump was actually hanging out with the Queen of England. They were coming out for a photo op, and he decided to throw a pic and wanted to make her just go around him. He was
Is that the most bizarre thing you've seen? Well,
every time she tried to walk, he like blocked her. She like tried to get around him, and he just like turned his back to her. It was hysterical.
It looked like a bad SNL or like a Benny Hill type skit, didn't it? With the pic's a great way to describe it.
And I think they were supposed to stand in front of the guys with the hats, as my daughter called them. She said, "How do they see?" With those hats on.
The beef eaters?
Yeah. She goes, how did they see?
Yeah.
I think they were doing some sort of formation or something, and I thought that the Queen and the President were supposed to stand there. And the President just kind of took off, and the Queen kind of tried to catch up. They were still doing their thing. He just wanted out of there.
I mean, Trump can't handle taking a photograph. I mean, what happened at the NATO meeting with everyone looking in one direction, and he decided to look in a different direction?
Yes.
Well, I think that was photo. I think that was conscious.
Yeah.
He has trouble with women. Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, I agree.
May.
Merkel.
He really does have trouble with women. Hillary.
Speaking of May, what was the whole thing with his interview just blasting her?
Oh, you know, he's literally enemy number one in Great Britain right now. If you look at the tabloids, if you go online and look at the tabloid headlines, they hate this guy.
I'm worried they're going to
hate. Hey.
Yes?
I don't think that's fair, Ken. He has an 11% approval rating in Great Britain.
Oh, that's true.
11% of the people in Great Britain who actually like him.
Yeah, 11%. Yeah, that may be rounding error, though.
Well, people get nervous. I think that with due cause, that when the president is meeting with international leaders, and Doug wanted to talk about one in particular. What do you want to say, Doug?
Hi, Teddy.
Hey.
My serious concern about this unprecedented private meeting with Putin. I really think that he is going there to make sure that the midterm elections get a lot of assistance to keep him in power and report into Putin for accomplishing exactly what Putin wants. You have to remember, we have he's now destroyed our permanent trust in the United States, destroyed our NATO relationships, destroyed our relationship with Mexico and Canada, very close allies. He has destroyed our relationships with South America. He wanted to, you know, go in there and blow up Venezuela. So the whole Western Hemisphere hates him. Cuba, he pulls out of there. Russia and China are both helping, you know, the economy of Cuba grow. And I think this is exactly what Putin wants. And he's going to do everything he can to, you know, try and keep his Republican House of Representatives in the Senate. And he needs Putin to do that. And then Putin, I mean, look at what he's done in a year and a half. He has become a pawn for Putin with Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un won't even give us the remains back from the Korean War veterans.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. People haven't been talking about that. Mm-hmm. Remember, he said that, you know, the thousands of Korean veteran the parents of the war from Korea, that they were going to get the remains back. First of all, there weren't thousands because they would be over 110 years old or 100 years old. But in fact, those remains have not been turned over, have not been released to the United States. They didn't show up for the meeting for that. Yeah.
So we will have no alliances going forward, because now, even if there's a new president, other countries are going to say, well, this could be temporary if this guy wants to rebuild an alliance with us. And I think Putin has promised to make him the richest man in the world or something like that. And that's all he wants. Because, like I say, all our alliances are going down the toilet, and he clings to these dictators.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Thank you, Doug. Go ahead.
I think Doug makes an excellent point, and this is something that Ken and I were talking about earlier today, because Ken kept saying, I don't understand how Putin, or how, sorry, Freudian slip, how Trump could not respond to this indictment today with at least, you know, some response, some measure of anger at the, at you know, the interference, et cetera, et cetera. And I kept saying, Ken, you're talking like he's a rational, or he's a normal actor and the normal rules apply. Anything that will help him win, he wants to take advantage of, including the Russians. That's the reason he hasn't done anything to put a stop to it.
Yep.
Well, I mean, do we have time before that? Are we going to the news?
We're going to the news, and we will do the indictment, and then what's that from? Because we have to condense everything. So it is time for the news. Stand by, everybody. We've got some news from Andre Darlis. I wonder if anybody in the Trump administration freaked out when Robert Mueller presented an indictment for 12 Russians. Hold on, let me go ahead, Ken.
What this, people need to understand what this is. This is the detail of flushing out the assessment of the intelligence community of the United States from January 2017, when they stated generally that the Russians had attacked our democracy. These are the specifics. I mean, this indictment today details in extraordinary specificity a tremendous job by the Department of Justice and all of the intelligence agencies and probably some NATO countries, I would bet, who helped us.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. This details an attack by the Russian military on the United States. This is not a joke. We were attacked by the Russian military, and I'm sure that they are still in some fashion doing it again, because our country, our government, has done absolutely nothing to protect ourselves. This they've tried to run away from this, yet all the evidence has been there for throughout the entire Trump administration. So this is somewhat extraordinary, and I encourage everybody to just go into Google or whatever search engine you use. Just put in Russian indictments, Mueller, and you'll see a link to the actual indictment. Put your spy novel down and spend about 3 or 3.5 hours reading through this. Have a notepad, because you're going to have to write stuff down so you can track all the people involved. It's extraordinary. And if you ever wonder about the competency of our FBI, the CIA, the intelligence agencies, read this indictment and you'll know these guys are the best in the world at what they do.
Well, and
yeah,
we're talking.
You know, Ken, you're absolutely right. The indictment is an amazing thing to read. I've only gotten halfway through it, and it's just every bit as good as the best spy thriller. But to your point about that they're still doing the attack. So the Director of National Intelligence is former Indiana Senator Dan Coats, Trump appointee. He said today, quote, "The warning lights are blinking red again. Today the digital infrastructure that serves this country is literally under attack."
Yeah.
So you're not just speaking hyperbolically. We are under attack right now, and the Trump administration has turned a blind eye to it, despite every warning from everybody on both sides of the aisle, including people throughout his administration.
Eric?
Well, and the interesting thing Ken and I were talking about earlier is this is almost like an upside-down pyramid, where they have started very broad and they are getting narrower and narrower in their focus. And I think this is going to get really interesting soon.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we don't know, what's missing from, you know, we had the intelligence assessment in January 2017, then we had the indictments in February of all the social media guys in Russia. And then now we have these guys that did the hacking of the DNC, the DCCC, Hillary's campaign, the State Board of Elections. And by the way, for those of you who live in Illinois who are listening to this program,
oh yeah, this is great.
You may have had your information stolen by the Russians, because they according to the indictment, they penetrated the Illinois State Board of Elections successfully, and they stole the identities and all of our voting histories, where we live, etc., for 500,000 Illinois voters.
Yep.
Okay, that's awful and horrendous. What are they going? What would they do with that information?
Oh, I mean, what I would do is I'd go, if I wanted to favor a Republican candidate, I'd go through and I'd sift out those who voted Democratic, and I'd change their registration status so that they can't vote in the election.
And will that impact future elections too?
It would create utter chaos. Yeah.
Awful.
And we don't know what they did, because it doesn't say what they did, but I pretty much can guarantee you that they didn't sit on 500,000 names and do nothing.
Oh, no.
And there's a couple other points.
Yes.
Mueller mentions two dates that really he didn't have to mention, because they don't really fit the narrative. They're kind of add-ons. First date is June 8th. That's the date that DC Leaks was created by the Russian military. That was they created a heavy social media presence for DC Leaks. That was the entity that released many of the Hillary Clinton emails. What happened the next day on June 9th? Does anybody remember? The Trump Tower meeting.
Oh, right. About Russian adoption.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, but when they discussed Russian adoptions. Yes. And then the other date was July 27th. Yeah. What happened on July 27th? Trump at his, from the Doral Country Club, Trump's afternoon press conference, in which he pleaded to Russia to please get the emails from Hillary. That night was the first night that the Russian military went after Hillary personally, the State Department, and a whole bunch of other folks, obviously in trying to find those emails.
The 502 texts, "Russians have been hacking us for years. Do not forget, Obama was in the middle of everything with the FBI, and he did nothing."
Not true. In fact, what the U.S. government did in September and October very likely prevented a significant penetration of state board of elections. Obama picked up the red phone and called Putin and told him in no uncertain terms to knock it off, that we knew what they were doing. And John Brennan today said that he believed that that slowed down the Russian penetration of the state board of elections.
There you go.
Well, not only that, Ken, but as soon as that happened, the Department of Homeland Security started working intensively with boards of election around the country to try to limit the damage being done by the Russian hacking. So it's not actually accurate to say Obama did nothing. The one thing Obama didn't do is that he did not tell the country about the hacking and about the various activities because he was trying to do it in a bipartisan fashion, and Mitch McConnell he kept putting the kibosh on it.
Yeah, Trump basically went to Mitch McConnell and said, let's do this bipartisan, let's make an announcement as to what's going on, and McConnell wouldn't do it. So I wouldn't blame Obama on that. I'd blame continued politics from the Republicans in Congress.
I was going to say, yeah, so much of it was about like appearances. I mean, like even Comey said, we didn't want the FBI to appear as though they were being political, even though ultimately his actions became political. And Obama, you know, and also the hubris of believing that she was going to win.
Right.
And thinking it didn't matter.
It wasn't his place to make that. I mean, to make that decision or bring the politics into it.
And you know, the White House put out a statement today in which one of the things they stated was, you know, no votes were changed. Look, this indictment is not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's not about independents. It's not about Jill Stein supporters. It's about Americans. America was attacked. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, the one thing we can agree on is we love our country. We may have totally different views on how we go about loving our country, but we love our country. Our country has been attacked and is continuing to be attacked now. And so far, this administration and the Republicans in Congress have spent more time talking about the texts of one of the heroes of our country rather than focusing on the Russians who've directly attacked our country.
Here's the thing. This has gone so well. I'm gonna go to a break right now, and just in case.
Leave us on a happy note?
Of course.
The Cubs have come from behind on a miraculous steal of home from first by Javi Baez to take the lead in top of the 10th, and then the bottom of the 10th, Morrow got his 20th save, and the Cubs from behind won the game.
And that's Dave Lundy reporting live from San Diego's Qualcomm Stadium.
Not Patty Vasquez, because we don't have broadcasting rights. More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
That's right. Now, I'm not sure. I usually tell you this is where we take a classic movie and destroy it forever by our own artistic interpretations. But, Roger, is this a classic movie that people will recognize?
They may. It's from the 60s. It is a Pulitzer Prize-winning book that was staged first and then became a movie. It is
contemporary. From the 1800s, Roger?
Yeah, 1700s, actually. All right. This is a deals with an extremely contemporary topic. So a political topic. I will leave it at that. And let's just say that this scene takes place in the halls of our government in Washington, D.C.
Okay, let's take it away, everybody.
All right.
And who's taking it away?
Seeb?
Everyone needs a microphone. Sorry. There you go. You may speak now. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Brim. You did a clean and honest job, and I surely thank you for that.
You made the rest of us a party to something that was neither clean nor honest. I can't congratulate you on that, Seb.
Mabel reaches them.
Mrs. Anderson, how nice you look. You surely do. I'm right afraid I have earned Brigham's displeasure. He's about to go through me like a Colorado beetle through a potato patch.
On a hot day?
Yes, ma'am.
Claire reaches them.
Seb, you've never seen a potato patch in South Carolina, have you?
Ms. Munson, we have them. Now, you know just how poor I was. My pa depended on potatoes to live by in South Carolina. and that's pretty poor.
Seed moves away as Claire holds out her hand to shake hands with Brig.
Congratulations, Brig. You're pretty stern with that gavel. You can put it down now.
Brig looks down to see he's still holding the gavel. He puts it down. Mabel has come up to him, and she grabs his hands excitedly.
It was so exciting. It really was. I love you as a chairman.
Well, thank you, Brig, and you too, Orin. It's a shame we had to have it, but having to, it was well done.
He nominates Huntington and almost ends up with a communist. It was handled well.
In another area, Sieb meets Huntington and Van Ackerman.
Now you see, no rancor, no bitterness. I was on my best behavior for you.
I appreciate the bloodless manner of the execution, Senator.
You're a work of art, a real work of art. Do you know that? One of our gentler members.
Sieb exits as Huntington and Van Ackerman move to the committee table.
Thank you, Senator. You handled it very well. Thank you.
Brig, I want to talk to you. When you have your report put together, I hope now you'll do your best.
Can you see me in my office?
Sure. You go in there now? Hello, Mrs. Anderson.
Hello.
Only for a minute.
Brig, I'm taking my papers back. I will meet you in the car.
Good.
As Brig and Mabel start to move, Brig sees Gelman. Munson calls to Van Ackerman, who was about to follow Brig and Mabel.
Fred?
And Van Ackerman goes to Munson, who is talking quietly to Richardson. Brig stops in front of Gelman.
Can I help you some way?
You know, I just give the wrong impression I have a family. I wouldn't change. I'm sorry.
Gelman rushes out. Brig and Mabel slowly walk away as Munson turns to Van Ackerman.
Fred, calm down, will you?
I'm fine.
Take a word of advice. Calm down.
I just have a quick temper. I'm all right, Brig.
Van Ackerman walks to Brig and Mabel and grabs Brig's arm as they all walk towards Brig's office.
Brig, now that this grandstanding is over, I hope you'll do what you can to get a favorable report right through the committee and get the nomination back to the Senate floor.
I don't think there'll be much of a problem.
They pass through Brig's outer office, past Liz, the secretary, at the desk. They reach... It's a Senate door. They reach Briggs' inner office.
If you could get the subcommittee together tomorrow, you could have it to the Senate by Friday.
Fred, why don't you come in the morning and we can talk about it then. Orin and some other people are waiting for us.
Not a problem. Go ahead. I'll see you in the morning. Can I use your phone?
Full guest privileges. Good night.
Thanks. See you in the morning.
Brig and Mabel exit. I knew he was going to do it. Liz walks to Briggs' inner office.
Yes, sir?
Would you get my would you get my office for me?
Yes, sir.
Liz returns to a desk and looks up Van Ackerman's number on a card and dials four numbers. Van Ackerman searches himself for a match, finds none, looks on the desk in a drawer, finds none, looks in another drawer, finds matches. He takes them out, looking in the drawer. He lifts from the drawer a photograph and a letter clipped to it. The phone rings. Van Ackerman picks it up as he reads the letter.
Van Ackerman? Oh, Lloyd. I'm just going to take off for home unless there's something to come in for. Yes, when you're through, you can take off. Good night.
Van Ackerman hangs up.
Good night.
It's a heavy phone. He is still reading. He rises slowly and puts the letter and photo back in the drawer and closes it. He takes a few steps away from the drawer and stops. He hears Liz moving in the outer office and then sitting down at her desk. He returns to the desk, removes the letter and photograph, and stuffs them in his pocket. He closes the drawer and stands for a moment before walking out. As he passes Liz, he nods to her.
Good night.
Good night, Senator.
I know what movie this is.
They did this movie without me.
I'm sorry, Dave. It'll teach you. I actually, 312, I have no clue either. 312-981-7200.
Really?
Apparently, the only people that know what movie this is are Dave Lundy and Elliot Serrano. Anybody else?
No, it's the Buddy Holly movie.
There you go. You're familiar?
It's the Phantom Menace. All that talk about Senate.
Yeah, right.
Come on. You know, the first Star Wars movie. All the politics from the first Star Wars movie.
Groundhog Day.
312.
Actually Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
Oh, my God.
312-981-7200. If you can tell us what movie we just read from, you can win a gift card from Apt Electronics. That's 312-981-7200. Oh, here's Ed. Ed, what movie is that from?
Would that be advise and consent?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go. Congratulations, Ed. Do me a favor. When you stop out at Glenview at the Apple Electronics store up there, say hi to Steve Shapiro for us. Or you can visit ABT.com, Pleasing People Since 1936, one of my favorite places. Just even like just to go there and hang out and see all the great stuff they have. So congratulations, Ed. Michael will take your information and send that card out. No, I have no idea what movie. I've never seen
it. Can I read a little bit? Just one sentence. Okay. The film set in Washington, D.C., follows the consequences of the nomination of a man with a hidden past for Secretary of State who commits perjury in the course of confirmation proceedings.
Wow.
Good one.
I've seen this movie dozens of times. I love this movie. Never miss it when it's on.
All right. Now all right. I will have to check this one.
I guess so.
Oh, okay. More after this on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. I'm happy. Let's get happy. No matter what we talk about, no matter what arguments we have, at the end of the day, we still tell each other something that makes us happy. If you want to join us, 312-981-7200. I'm going to go ahead and go first. My son had a recital today. He plays guitar, and a lot of the students in his class were performing, and then the instructor said, okay, my next student, you know, you always get one student that challenges you, that makes you work a little bit harder, and I'd like to introduce Griffin. And Griffin, like all the other performers were doing like Red Hot Chili Pepper songs or like all or like there was like there was Van Morrison, there were all kinds of like, you know, rock songs and folk songs. Griffin, classical guitar decided, and did some nice Spanish guitar, some Allegro. So I was like, oh, he's done like before, he's done like Beethoven and like, yeah, so he always nice likes to do that. It's a much harder work to do, so that was
good
my
for him.
That's
good.
My something good. And for the first time ever, Declan stayed for the recital. He usually just wants to get out of there. He doesn't like being in that room. It's kind of small. And Declan stayed for his brother's recital today. Aww. For the first time ever. So two really
that's
great
awesome
things.
That's
so
fantastic.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go first and hog the space.
No. Awesome.
I'm going to throw to Dave because he's on the line. I know it's hard when you're not in studio to be heard and to be seen. Hey, Dave.
Hey,
what's your something good?
That's just awesome. I love that story. Well, my something good is also my older son. Eli is on his way to a 3-week camp type program in Boston, where he'll be studying sports management and improv. And it's the kind of program that I wish we had when I was a kid. But while I'm going to miss him horribly, it's just an amazing opportunity, and I just feel great we're able to give it to him.
That's awesome. Well, that's a lot of fun. Ken, get something good for us?
Yeah, it's the weekend.
Right.
I mean, it's the week. It's been a very rough week for our country, for the Trump White House, and for my family. My mom was diagnosed with cancer again, and I was with her Tuesday and Wednesday. She starts chemotherapy next week Friday, so I will not be here next week Friday. I'll be with her as she undergoes her chemotherapy treatments. My daughter's had a rough week. So the only thing that could happen is brighter days starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I agree. We're thinking of her.
That's excellent, and I wish your mother the very best.
Thank you.
Yeah. Eric, got something good for us?
In about 7 hours, I'm on a plane, and I'm going to have some fun for a few days.
Where are you going?